The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Own your very own old-time radio collection. 74,000 shows on a 500-gigabyte external hard drive, plus a huge bonus of 4,200-plus doo-wop and oldies, over 4,000 big band collection, 2,000 jazz and blues, and an additional 400 episodes of British old-time radio. Declare your independence from RSS feeds and download hassles. Own your very own collection for only $99.49. Order today at oldtimeradiodvd.com. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Network Mystery Stories. It's a foggy night, a perfect night for a mystery. The unknown. You enter fears, and those unexplained noises all make mystery stories come alive in those chilling tales as told by early radio and your imagination. So let's go to our featured mystery presentation.
It's immediately after the close of our last episode, when, for the first since the beginning of the trial of State versus May Grant for the murder of Marcel Blanc, the tide of battle seems to be turning against Prosecutor Apt. And right now, as little Dorry Grant leaves the stand, as Prosecutor Apt prepares to call his next witness, at the defense table...
Oh, Miss Bailey, Mr. Edward L. Bailey.
Oh, Perry, That was wonderful.
Oh, now, Della.
Everybody knows how May and Dorry were prisoners in that apartment, and it didn't hurt any to bring out what Kitty tried to do to Dorry, feeding that baby rum. Well, what's the matter?
How about our detective?
What?
What about our detective?
Well, I called his office. He was out.
Well, I keep calling.
Now I want to hear the next witness. Hey, Perry, I think I know him.
You do know where the phone booth is, don't you?
Oh, you slave
driver. I mean it. Right now, I need a break. One little break from Paul to keep this ball rolling. You get Paul on the phone, and if there's any message, you give it to me no matter what is happening.
All right, Mr. Apt, the witness is ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, will you tell us your name, please?
Bailey. Edward L. Bailey.
And your profession, sir?
Attorney, corporation attorney.
Your reputation is well known, sir, but for the record, the nature of your legal practice is such that you deal with large sums of money.
Well,
You're on the board of the Hunt Bank.
Yes.
A director in Marshall Motor.
I am.
And a past president of the Bar Association.
Yes.
Splendid record, sir. You're to be congratulated.
I'm a busy man, Mr. Apt, now.
Yes, of course. And now, now, I ask you, Mr. Bailey, did you know a man named Marcel Blanc?
Yes, I did.
And his wife, professionally known as Kitty DiCarlo?
Well, not personally.
Now, what about the child known as Dorry Grant?
I've met her.
And the woman right over there, the defendant?
Yes.
Now, how did you happen to meet these people, sir?
Well, in the course of my duties as trustee for the child's estate.
It's a sizable estate, I believe.
Hmm? Oh, several million. Yes, sizable. I suppose you could say sizable.
Since you are a busy man, Mr. Bailey, I'll come to the point. You can clear up for us.
Yes, good.
You talked with the defendant and with the deceased Mr. Blanc and with the child in the apartment where they lived.
That's true, I did.
How did you happen to go there?
Well, Miss DiCarlo was making application to take over as administratrix of her daughter's estate.
Oh?
I went to see if the child was getting proper care.
So you went to the apartment?
I did. I believed Mrs. Grant was simply the nurse.
Mr. Bailey, it's been implied that the little girl and Mrs. Grant were prisoners in that apartment. Now, can you shed any light on that assertion?
Prisoners?
Dorothy told us she tried to leave the apartment with Mrs. Grant, but that they stopped and turned back.
Oh, that. Yes, of course, that's easily explained. I approved the expenditure myself.
Expenditure?
To pay the private detectives guarding the little girl. That fellow Blanc, a level-headed seeming chap, he thought it'd be a good idea if she were guarded. Well, later, there seemed to be some question about the nurse, Mrs. Grant. I'm certain that fellow Blanc had the guard's specific orders against her taking Dorothy out.
Well, did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Now, one more thing, Mr. Bailey. It's been implied Mr. Carlo is not a fit mother for her child. Now, you went to the apartment to investigate that very question. Give us your impressions, if you please, sir.
There's no question about it. The apartment was neat as a pin, with everything in it a child could want. I spoke to the little girl myself. I saw her playing. Now, she was happy as a lark.
And did you question Mrs. Grant?
I did indeed. I questioned her specifically. Asked her how the little girl felt about her mother. Well, the child told me she loved her mother.
Yes, yes, but did Mrs. Grant say anything about Mr. Carlo?
She did. Mrs. Grant told me specifically and definitely that the little girl's mother was a perfect mother.
Yeah. I believe that's all, Mr. Bailey. You've cleared things up nicely.
Yes, then if I may retire...
I have a question or so, Mr. Bailey.
Oh, but Mr. Mason, Mr. Bailey's a busy man.
Sure, but not so busy he has to fly away before he's cross-examined.
Go ahead, Mr. Mason.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Bailey.
Yes?
Did you personally know just why Marcel Blanc seemed to distrust Mrs. Grant?
Well, not personally. He said there was some question of her loyalty.
As far as you know, she was loyal.
Well, yes, putting it like that.
That's how I put it.
She could have been.
Then she could also have been a prisoner for no reason you knew of, for no legal or moral reason.
Well, yes, yes, she could have been.
I point out to the jury the assumption remains unchanged. May Grant was a prisoner, no matter who paid the guard. Now, about your visit, Mr. Bailey. You say the apartment was clean, neat as a pin, I believe you said.
Yes, it was.
Who kept it that way?
Well, I don't know. I assume
you don't know Mr. Carlo did?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't. At that time, it didn't make much difference to me. The point was, the apartment was clean.
Yes, yes. Now, about what Dory and Mrs. Grant told you. Did Dory say she loved Miss DiCarlo?
Of course. She said she loved her mother very dearly.
Oh, well, just a moment, Mr. Bailey. I'll read to you an extract from Dory's testimony. Question. To whom do you mean when you say mommy, Dorothy? Answer. Mommy, Mrs. Grant.
What?
Did Dory say she loved Miss DiCarlo or mommy?
Well, come to think of it, I don't believe she referred to Miss DiCarlo. In fact,
Yes?
In fact, she was holding Mrs. Grant's hand and looking up into her face when she said she loved her mother. And well, that chap Blanc said something just then that took my mind off it. But I was led to believe that when Dory said mommy, she meant her mother, Miss DiCarlo.
Yes, we understand. And now, Mr. Bailey, as to what Mrs. Grant said about Dorothy's mother... Did Mrs. Grant refer to the mother by name? I mean, Miss DiCarlo?
Why, well, I'm under the impression she did, but I couldn't swear to it.
All right, then. Just what did Mrs. Grant say about Dory's mother?
It was a simple tribute. Simple and touching. She merely said that Dory's mother loved Dory. It gave her pleasure to bathe her, feed her, make clothes for her doll. All those things. She said she supposed Dory's mother was a good mother because she did all those things simply because she loved her child.
Mr. Bailey, when Mrs. Grant talked about Dory's mother, she could have been talking about herself, couldn't she?
Well, I couldn't say she was, young man. I can only repeat her words. You understand. 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 But, you asked me if she might have been. Yes, yes, she might have been.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. And now, sir... Oh, excuse me one moment, Your Honor.
Harry, I reached for. Here you are, take this note.
You certain?
Positive.
Okay. Now watch me.
Your Honor.
Yes, Mr. Mason?
Your Honor, at this time, the defense moves that you direct the jury to find the defendant not guilty.
What did you say?
The prosecutor's case is coming apart at the seams. Now we've heard innuendos and insinuations and half-truths from a whole parade of witnesses. A flock of them, Your Honor. But so far, not one has proved May Grant lied. So far, not one has proved that May Grant, and only May Grant, could have killed Marcel Blanc. Oh, yes. The evidence points to a woman. But why May Grant?
You'd suggest someone else, Mr. Mason?
I certainly would.
And who would you suggest?
Kitty DiCarlo.
Oh, silly.
Every shred of evidence that points to May Grant points to Kitty DiCarlo as well. Every shred of physical evidence. And that's all you have, Mr. Rapp.
You should have been the prosecutor, Mr. Mason.
If I had been, believe me, I would have come into this court with clean hands.
Mr. Mason.
Sorry, Your Honor, but I was carried away.
If Mr. Mason were in my place, Your Honor, he'd put Miss DiCarlo on the stand and prove an alibi for her before anything else. Am I right, Mr. Mason?
Yes, you certainly are.
Your Honor, I think he has a point there. Believe me, sir, we can all learn from such a man as...
We'll put Miss DiCarlo on the stand
with your sales, Mr. Mason. It means I'll prove Mr. Carlo's alibi before I do another thing. His Honor will agree to adjourn until tomorrow.
Oh, I will move that we adjourn, Mr. Rapp.
So ordered. Court adjourned until 10 tomorrow.
Been pretty easily, didn't he? Well, we're quite sure if Perry Mason hadn't been so positive he'd maneuvered the prosecutor into a trap, he'd have noticed the smile around Mr. App's eyes when he asked for an adjournment. It's certainly evident that something has happened behind the scenes and... Well, join us tomorrow by all means, won't you?